All right, so I stayed with Pat Bertrosch. Pat and I first met because he was involved with radio as well. And he used to have a program with a left-wing goofball, I think is how he likes to refer to anybody on the political left. And it's all in jest. And I had him on my show. I might have been on his show once. Anyway, we also shared the experience of having run for Congress, me in 2008, him in 2010, on different in different primaries, me a Democratic primary, him a Republican primary. And again, I asked him, are we heading toward authoritarianism? And here's our conversation.
Hey, I'm here talking with Pat Bertrosch, who was kind enough to put me up last night as I came through Waukee on my way to Van Meter. Pat, welcome to the conversation.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for coming by. I appreciate you insisting that I put you up for a night. And, you know, eating my food, watching my TV.
Well, and having some conversation.
It was great. It was a great conversation.
You know, we had a few people over. Some, as you call them, left-wing loonies.
Yes, a couple of left-wingers.
Some responsible Republicans.
Yes, there you go. That's exactly right.
Okay. And you are a retired physician.
I am.
And you're also, again, politically active. You ran for Congress once or twice?
I just ran once.
That was smart.
Yeah, don't do it. I'm telling you. Don't do it.
Yeah. And that was back in, 2010, I think?
2010.
Yeah, there was like a five-way Republican primary, I think.
I think there's 216 of us in there. No, there's eight people. There's eight people, and the people join and then quit. It was crazy.
So why would you let such a left-wing loony as myself into your house? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I felt bad for you. You look like a bedraggled kitten outside. No, the truth is, and I think you'll agree with this, Republicans and Democrats, when they're talking to each other, agree much more about the issues than we disagree. And I think part of the issue is, especially in the days, you know, you get paid per click, you have to get that click. You have to get that headline. And so the media, and I mean all media, is driven by clicks. And that means you have to, you know, say things that make people click. And that often isn't conducive to talking, you know? So, and that's why I let you in, because you've always treated me nice. We've been in similar, you know, businesses. And, you know, overall, you're a decent guy. And just like last night proved, most of the time we were agreeing on things.
Yeah, and so the media, I would say the media does like, exactly, you called it exactly right. If it leads, it bleeds. That's kind of a political version of that tagline.
If it bleeds, it leads.
I said it wrong. Right? We liberals always get it backwards, right?
You do.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. It's even worse inside your party. If you disagree with the leadership, right, they ostracize you, right? There always seems to be a purity test. And I can't remember if I was talking with you about the purity test or somebody else, but, oh, I know who it was. One of my son's friends is a big left-wing goofball. And and he was talking about, you know, there's a purity test going on for the Democrats. And I'm like, what I read, there's a purity test for the Republicans. They sent a thing out and said, you need to check off. And if you're pure enough, you know, we'll give you. And I'm like, yeah, it's ridiculous to have a purity test. You can have a different opinion and still be okay.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. No, it's a problem.
Are we heading toward authoritarianism?
The reason we're heading towards authoritarianism isn't because of Trump. Like we discussed right before we went on air here, we discussed about how, you know, the president over the years has slowly consolidated power because you have one branch, one particular branch of government that doesn't exercise its balancing duties, and that's Congress.
Well, Trump has gone beyond slowly consolidating power. He's doing it at a rapid speed in a direction that we've never seen.
Well, but he's only using the tools that have been available to him. He's not making up new things. He's using the things that are there now.
But it is happening.
And everybody's, you may think it's happening, but everybody has done it from, you know, like I said, the last time that Democrats and Republicans could get along to govern a country was under Reagan. And not because it was Reagan, but because they had a lot of things in common. They were World War II era people, right? And once those people retired or died, as the case may be, then the split really started happening because they didn't have that one unifying force. That's my opinion. Hmm. But if you look at G.W. Bush, right? If you look at Clinton, if you look at Obama, there shouldn't be 500 executive orders issued, you know, in the course of a presidency.
Trump is doing is taking it to a new level, and he's doing it very quickly. And if we don't do something in the next couple of years, we could see ourselves under a full-blown authoritarian rule. And that may be more than you're willing to agree to?
Yeah, I disagree.
But you still think we have to do something?
Well, yeah. And what we do is we vote the people out of Congress that are not willing to bring these executive orders to the floor. Yeah, that's not a problem. I'm really glad that you took up my offer to come stay at my house, because I did offer. You asked, and I said, yeah, that's great. You asked me to get some people together, and I'm glad that you suggested that. It was great in the evening of conversation.
Yeah.
Right? We had two left-wing goofballs, and we had two very reasonable Republicans in there. And one was a money guy. He added a lot to the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, the left-wing goofballs didn't, but, you know.
Well, you shouldn't expect anything from me.
And I don't.
All right, well.
Again, I don't know how likely it is that I'm going to immediately change somebody's mind and get them to say, oh, yeah, we're heading toward authoritarianism. We've got to stop this. We've got to save our democracy. We've got to do it now. But I think these conversations are helpful. And I think marching is helpful. I've always believed that that one good way to connect with people is to go on a long walk. And I have had people join me. Actually, Chuck Hurley joined me for 2.5 miles of the third day of the march. I couldn't talk Pat into joining me. But I had Tom Walton, who is an active Democrat in Dallas County, join me for 5 miles of the last day of the march. I think he was pretty tired at the end of that. If you're not used to it, yes, it's tough. But I want to get back to, you know, again, Trump, and let's talk about the truth. You know, You look at the response that Republicans have had to Democrats regarding the shutdown, the government shutdown, which, as of the recording of this program, we are still in shutdown mode. I mean, the argument that, you know, that Democrats are willing to shut down the government because they want $1 trillion for health care for, quote, illegal aliens, you know, that's not true. I mean, there is about $1 trillion, I guess, for healthcare, and a teeny tiny, I think I saw that 0.004% of that might go to emergency medical care for some immigrant people. You know, it's a lie. And I've seen Democrats lie as well. I was lied about left and right when I ran for Congress by the establishment Democrats that didn't want me to win. But this kind of lies is so blatant and so clearly off the wall that it's just shameful. To be able to repeat them just shows a complete lack of any decency, I think. So, and then this is one example of the truth on trial here during the Trump administration. So another lie of sorts. I mean, Trump declared that he was going to be going after, quote, the worst of the worst in terms of deporting immigrants, criminals. Illegals who committed crimes, you know. Well, as of June, the Cato Institute, and the Cato Institute is not a liberal think tank. They are very pro-corporate. They are very libertarian. They are actually in favor of open borders because they think the free flow of labor ought to be as broad as the free flow of capital. And as of June, according to the research they'd done, 65% of the immigrants who had been arrested had no criminal convictions. And over 93% had never been convicted of a violent offense. So this whole campaign rhetoric of we're going to arrest the worst of the worst, the criminals, the rapists, the murderers, the drug dealers. Well, 7% of those who've been arrested fit that description. And again, how they're handling this is, I know Steve Miller, the one of Trump's lead guys, wants 3,000 people deported every day. He's unleashed ICE on Chicago, and the other night at midnight, 300 ICE officers and whoever else they had roped into the operation raided an apartment building in Chicago, and it had to be like a scene from a horrible movie. They came in Black Hawk helicopters. They came in military vehicles. They broke down apartment doors. They ransacked homes. And they hauled children out of their beds and away from their parents in the middle of the night. And that horror lasted for 3 hours. In the end, there were 37 people arrested. And again, we haven't had a chance to see what their, quote, criminal record is yet. But one of them, a guy named Roderick Johnson, is apparently a U.S. citizen. There's nothing resembling the campaign pledge to go after the worst of the worst. I mean, children out of their beds. I don't know how anybody can feel good about this. I don't know anybody can feel good about this. So Trump is also, of course, at war with the earth, and I was so appalled by what he had to say at the United Nations summit last week.
It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion. Climate change, no matter what happens, you're involved in that. No more global warming, no more global cooling. All of these predictions made by the United Nations and many others, often for bad reasons, were wrong. They were made by stupid people that have cost their country's fortunes and given those same countries no chance for success. If you don't get away from this green scam, your country is going to fail. And I'm really good at predicting things, you know? They actually said during the campaign they had a hat, the best-selling hat. Trump was right about everything. And I don't say that in a braggadocious way, but it's true. I've been right about everything. And I'm telling you that if you don't get away from the green energy scam, your country is going to fail.
I think more than anything, I'm just deeply embarrassed for our country that was the presentation by our president before the entire universe of nations. I mean, insulting them, insulting scientists, stupid people. Scientists are stupid people, but Trump is brilliant, deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. Was right about everything. That hat, by the way, I'm pretty sure he's the one who ordered that hat be made. We'll see what happens in the next 4 weeks of my walk, but I can't imagine that more and more people aren't going to start seeing this charlatan for who he is and seeing where he's leading us. Again, I don't expect that everybody will, but I know that some people are. I know that there are quite a few people I've heard from who are questioning his stability and also the direction he's taking us and also his capacity to speak the truth and also his moral integrity. We'll see.